by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Of course, you can always find out more about our show if you head into the radio station app and click On Demand, the Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors program, where we like to talk everything, well, like the name says, hooking, hunting, and loving the outdoors. And we bring in Game and Fish every week, Janet Millick, and I'm telling you, it has been a wild year. We always talk about how weird life can be in Wyoming, but this year has been exceptional.
Well, you know, it seems like the last couple of years have been fairly exceptional, but you're right, man. This fall has been a roller coaster, particularly for a lot of our game and fish folks in the northern part of the state, both the northwestern and the northeastern. So we're constantly thinking about, you know, the communities, the landowners, and our favorite friends of wildlife in those communities.
So the fires that are burning, the Pack Trail fire over in the Du Bois area is devastating. If you look at the size of area that has burned this year, because there are two fires that burned, and now they're actually coming in contact with each other. So That's a lot of area and a lot of animals and wildlife that really have been affected.
Absolutely. And, you know, our Jackson, Pinedale, and Lander regions are really keeping a close eye on that. They have been in contact with hunters in certain areas that may need to either do a deferral license until next year or refund license. Sometimes we don't do them. Again, we're constantly evaluating the habitat. We're constantly evaluating access. You know, we say this all the time. We are not a fire agency, so we rely on all of our partners to keep us in the loop on what is going on with access and, you know, where the fire boundaries are, where we are in containment, all of those things, so that we can make the best decisions for our hunters. That is really kind of where our authority lies and what we're trying to do for those folks.
So, you know, hunting seasons are going on right now, but there are other animals that maybe aren't hunted, like grizzly bears. And there are grizzlies in that Du Bois area, in the Togatee Pass area. How is this being worked out? What do you do? What do they do in that point?
You know, it is absolutely something to be thinking about and considering. And, you know, there were some fires earlier in the year, kind of around the Gillette area, Ucross, kind of up in that were quick moving grass fires that were just unreal. And we did have some reports in that fire of wildlife that was harmed, right? It just was moving too quick. They got caught up against some fences and unfortunately they perished. Not a lot, but a few. So that being said, you know, it does happen. They do try to escape, but sometimes they can't. But in the rest of these other fires, we've really had zero complaints about, or I should say call-ins or information saying that wildlife is being harmed, which is pretty incredible. So, you know, wildlife is that's what they do, right? They live in the wild. They know how to navigate it. They know their territories and they can get out when danger is coming. And so that is what they're doing.
Last week, I asked you an interesting question, because my question to you, and it stumped you, was, if I come across an animal that is down because of a fire, can I take it? And you went to other folks in Game and Fish, and the end question was, why would you want to?
Yeah.
But then, I mean, if you think about, like, if you hit a deer and the deer is pretty mangled, you have the option to pick that up and take it. But in the fire situation, it's a little different.
It is a little different. And, you know, when you say that I went to other people in Game and Fish, I went to other people and then I went to other people and I went to other people. And, you know, with a combined 100 years of us all working here, we just looked at each other and we were like, dude, we've never had a question like that before. But the answer is no. So we did finally find that out, and we're appreciative of all the people who looked into that question for the individual who asked it. But no, you can't take that. It is not a part of a roadkill situation. So there is not the 511 app that you can fill out that to be able to do that. And quite honestly, like, you just don't know what's happened at that situation. So you don't know how long the animal has been there. Right. You don't know anything. So for safety of people, you know, let's not go down that road.
Which, obviously, if you come across something like that, reporting it is still important, because that goes right back into what we talk about a lot of times, is the research that's done all year round. So if that's why the real reason to report roadkill is to help Game and Fish with numbers and research for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. You know, we collect that data so we know where we may need to do some overpasses to help animals in their migration routes. If it needs to go over a highway or under a highway, we do all of that data through that 511 app. And so it is pretty critical. And we work very closely with our partners with YDOT and other funding agencies with that data. So it's really important, as is telling us when you do find some of those injured animals, right? That is something that is important. But I do want to assure people that once the fire is safe for us to be in that area, again, we're not firefighters, so we don't have the ability to go in to these fire areas. We are helping folks evacuate and do those sorts of things in certain areas. But once it's safe, we do go in and evaluate. And so far, in the areas that we've been able to evaluate, all has been great with the latest fires. And so we're really glad to hear that. But one thing that we are hearing is that there is obviously going to be a lot more wildlife, like in the small towns, on the highways, in those areas, because it's easy for them to move through and they are being displaced. So keep that in mind. We want to make sure that if you are in bear country, that you're keeping your landscape clean, you're feeding your dogs inside, you know, all of those things that are attractants to bears. Let's keep that cleaned up so that we don't have any conflict situation and that we're not stressing those animals out even more.
Yeah. You know, if you've ever seen an animal that is in an area, somehow it gets into a backyard that's fenced in and they can't get out, they really react differently because they're uncomfortable, they're scared. So all of these animals that are on the move, that's their mentality right now. It's a fight or flight type of situation. And I saw a video the other day of a huge herd of elk that were moving across the hills just to escape that area. So, I mean, that really causes more opportunity for an interaction to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I do want to do some clarification there. There are a couple videos that are circling around on the internet. Some of them are real and some of them are from a fire several years ago in Montana. So a quick Google will make sure that you are actually watching an accurate video of what you're seeing, because I don't want people to panic and thinking, you know, 500 elk are, you know, running through the town of Dayton or anything like that. And it's not something that, you know, we are concerned about at this time, but winter range will be decreasing. Hunters may feel like, okay, I'm going to be kind and not hunt this fall. But if your area is still open, you know, it is okay to harvest during this time, because, you know, we are going to need to manage that population. The numbers, without having the habitat to support them through the winter, you know, the numbers will be important to harvest. And so keeping that in mind, we are in some areas offering deferrals so they can wait until next year. We are refunding licenses in some areas, and so you can get your license back, and then other areas are going to be open. So, you know, keep that in mind, though. It's not something, we are making good decisions based on what we can do for habitat and so on and so forth. But keep your eyes on the Game and Fish website. Call the Game and Fish office. Give them a little bit more time. I was talking to one of the biologists in Sheridan, and just last week he had talked to over 200 hunters. So I know, like, he hasn't even been off the phone in his spare time at home at 9 o'clock at night. So, you know, give them a little bit of time to figure out a few more things, let the fire get a little bit more under control. But we're there to help, and we'll let folks know what they can do there. And again, on the Pat Creek fire, or the Fish Creek Pack Fire, how it's all joining. I don't even know what they're calling it these days.
Big
you know,
fire.
All of those areas. There you go. All of those areas. And unfortunately, I have not seen any decrease in the heat for the next several weeks. And let's just hope that this is the last that we have to have this conversation.
Yeah.
But it may not be.
I saw that there may be rain a week from, like right now, like within 2 weeks, it could be a rainy day. So it really is a rough thing. And, you know, with the fire, the Elk Fire, I was watching the community meeting they did in Bighorn. And previously, in 100 years, 18,000 acres is the biggest fire ever in the Bighorns. And this fire jumped 25,000 acres overnight.
Right. Yeah, it is pretty wild.
So it's so fast moving and odd. And I think they even related it to a teenager where it's like slept all day and got really active at night. And they were having a hard time controlling that. So if you really think about the wildlife in that situation, they probably are a step or two ahead of the fire, I would think. It starts smelling like smoke and they're getting the heck out.
That's right. And if we are still 2 weeks out from rain, let's hope that that rain is not going to have lightning. Hopefully it will be cooled down enough at that time that we're not having any sparks. But this is a time for people that are outdoors, hunters, anglers, campers, all of those folks to keep in mind that fire restrictions are in place. Wildlife may be moving through at crazy times. But keep your fire under wraps and let's not start anymore.
Yeah. And I want to touch on another thing. You know, we talked about the hunting seasons and, you know, not everywhere is being affected by this, but maybe you're going out and you're sighting in your rifle.
Yeah.
The Coal Mountain fire the other day was started because someone was target practicing and started the fire. And obviously you're just out doing what you're doing, but you got to be careful in those situations.
Absolutely. And the number of times that, you know, someone just hauling the trailer and maybe not even camping, they're just going from Casper to Douglas and the chains spark. When they drag on the asphalt, they cause sparks and those fly off and there starts a little fire there. And, you know, unfortunately, I think right now those are really going to take off quickly. Again, I'm not a firefighter. I don't have any of that experience or knowledge. And so we will rely on our fire agencies for so much and just want to say thank you to all of the firefighters, all of the agency personnel across the state that have really been helping out. You know, we're just thinking about the landowners, the homeowners, livestock, wildlife, everything that is out there. And I know I'm sure I forgot somebody just thinking off of the fly there, but a huge thank you to those folks and for what they're doing.
Yeah. And there have been reports that, you know, the firefighters, they can't control this fire. It's burning so out of control and people aren't so happy about that. And really it's nobody's fault, but you've heard from other game and fish sources that, boy, some people are a little irritated right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that happens when those, you know, fires move through so quickly and people maybe can't control them, that people don't understand what goes into some of those fires. And we have an employee who lives kind of close to where the fire burned. And I got to see some of the pictures when it blew up overnight. And what a scary situation. Like I can't even imagine being a person in that area right now. It just is unreal. So just thinking about everyone and want to support those folks and applaud for every effort that they can do. And sorry that the fire keeps jumping fire lines and all of those things. But, you know, we want to support them and get them what they need to do the job the best they can and be safe.
Of course, you can always follow along at Wyoming Game and Fish Department's website, wgfd.wyo.gov. And if you have questions about your hunting season, if it's anywhere close to this area, you know, you can contact them. And I'm sure that the information is being put up on the website. So, you know, go check there first.
There you go. And we're emailing folks as well. So again, this is a perfect time to make sure that you provide us with an accurate email. And we're trying to mail letters, snail mail letters, but sometimes that can be tricky if you're from other areas and we don't get that snail mail out to you in time before you come out to visit. So just keep that in mind. The best information is helpful.
That I didn't know that was still a thing.
Our friends at the post office would not appreciate that.
Yeah, all right. All right, Janet. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Drew. Stay safe.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Janet Millick is back with us. And, Jenna, I know we just talked about the fires and how important that it is to be cognizant of what you're doing and be very open-minded, and especially when you're in areas where the wildlife are trying to find a temporary home. And this year has been very weird. We've seen a lot of movement in animals in places that we haven't before. And some of those movements and animals are bears, because the state is full of bears. Maybe not grizzlies everywhere, but black bears are all across the state.
Absolutely. And, you know, even before the fires were a factor, we are seeing a little bit higher conflict with human bears. Just maybe, you know, them they're in different areas than usual this year because of the drought. You know, I was on the river earlier this week, and the number of buffalo berries out there is just fantastic. And so it doesn't make sense to me that we would be having more conflict, because it does seem like in some areas there are still a lot of wild food sources out there for them. But it just happens to be a year where we really want people who are outside to be bear aware.
You know, there was just a couple of weeks ago when a government agency had to do some work on our radio stuff here in Casper, and they were from the Virginia area, right outside of Washington, D.C. They worked for a federal agency. And we were just chatting about their trip out here, and I said, you're going to go to some pretty remote areas. Do you have bear spray? And they were like, oh, you know, we heard about, you know, something like that. So I ended up showing them. You gave me a couple of bottles of the test spray or whatever, and I'm like, okay, this is what you would do in the event. And they were worried because they were going to deep, dark, remote areas around the bighorns where we're having some of these, you know, the conflicts and things, and ended up giving them a bottle of spray to take with them because they were so concerned about it. And I think it's one of those things that people need to really be on high alert because of what's going on.
Absolutely. Now, first of all, we need to clarify, you didn't give them the bottle of inert spray, did you?
Well, you know.
You know the thing, just make sure you can run faster than your friend.
Yeah.
But no, for reals. And I know you use the term, you know, deep, dark, in the middle of the forest, in the middle of nowhere. But that is not necessarily the case this year. They are, you know, in a lot of new and different areas. And so we just want to keep our eyes open, make sure that you are prepared, that you are carrying your bear spray with you. You do know how to use it and that it's accessible. That is one of the things that is always a challenge is, yep, got my bear spray. It's in my backpack. But then you come around the corner of the trail and there's the bear and, you know, taking off your backpack. Finding if it's under your water bottle, underneath your, you know, your puffy vest or whatever it happens to be, isn't helpful. Have it strapped on, either chest strap, side, you know, like a firearm situation, and be ready for use that. Make sure you've practiced, not with the real stuff. We have some inert if right. Anybody wants to practice, but make sure you know how to open that trigger because it does have a safety lock on it, and that can be tricky at times.
And you're absolutely right, especially if you have it in one of the holster type devices, because you got to take the holster lip off and then you have to pop the safety off and then you have to be able to pull the trigger. So I mean, it really is something that if you're going out where bear may be, you need to know how to use this.
Absolutely. And I can only imagine it has not happened to me, but if you come around a corner or you're, you know, in the middle of nowhere creeping around and there sits a bear, I can imagine the adrenaline is really pumping. And so your reactions are going to be a little bit different than normal. You might be a little bit nervous. You might be shaking, might not be thinking super clearly. And so the easier you can make it on yourself, the better. And so just be prepared. We really want people to be thinking about that this year, making sure that you have a clean and safe camp. All of the recommendations for how to hang your food, how to set up your camp, all of those things are on our BearWise Wyoming webpage. And I just strongly suggest that people that live kind of in, rural areas or just on the edge of town, making sure that your garbage is taken care of in addition to those people that are camping in the middle of nowhere. It's a year this year. Be aware.
Yeah. And one of the things I think, because we're having that extended deep fall or summer, the temperatures are staying up and you're able to go out and barbecue more, or maybe you are going out and doing a bonfire a little more often, and not cleaning up your grill is something that normally this time of year, we're not worried about.
Absolutely. And, it is crazy. And, we haul our grill inside and outside. And yes, we are a little bit crazy about it. But I'll tell you, there's been some incidents where, just hummingbird feeders have brought in black bears. Because why not, man? That'd be great if you could get a hold of those and, shake some sugar into your belly while you're trying to get, 20,000 calories a day into your body. I mean, how many Big Macs is that they would still have to eat? And so trying to find that amount of food to make it for a wonderful winter of hibernation and survival is a lot. And we as humans need to kind of keep that in mind, and so that we are safe. And just remember, the bears are out there being bears. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to interfere. The Game and Fish Department has to interfere, because there is a lot of, human conflict because of humans being dumb. Leaving your hot dogs on the picnic table overnight isn't the best scenario.
Yeah, and definitely go over to the Wyoming Game and Fish website. BearWise Wyoming is a great resource. If you don't know about the bear spray and how to use it, you can find it out right there. Go check it out, wgfd.yo.gov.
Thanks, Drew.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew along with Brian Woodward at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, where Wyoming owned, Wyoming loved, and Wyoming we are. And Brian, I'll tell you that you guys have such a great inventory here in store. You have the website, which is available for a lot of the items there. And that, when you go online or even call, you guys are going to check every store in the actual state to see if they can get what you need.
Yeah, we've talked about the online portion of our company website, and it's great. You can find a lot of hard to find pieces, but when you get into the store, there's a ton of inventory that isn't going to be found on the website, because there's certain products that we just get directly from the manufacturers, and we're talking products like Vortex that is not sold through distribution channels. It's a direct to the stores only. You might find some on Amazon and that kind of stuff. But, we found that, you don't always get what you buy when you're buying from these companies through Amazon.
One of the things that I love about Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, because you and I sit here and we do the show, and your employees come in and hey, I got somebody at the counter that has a question about this. But then the phone rings and you answer it. Someone standing right here in the store answers it. You don't go through an automated system. You don't have to hit one for English, right, or one for sporting goods, or one for camping. And right. You're talking local. People are here. They're working every day. And that's one of the great things about Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. It is here.
I hear every day that, a customer comes in and says, well, I really want to support local. Well, we would really like you to support local too. And I feel like what we offer that, some of the big box stores don't, and I hear it all the time. Well, I want to use my Cabela's points. Well, that's great. I understand if you're going to have a credit card and you want to take the advantage of those points, but we've got a guy that's going to take you out and look through a spotting scope or look through a pair of binoculars, and you can take him outside, you can touch him, you feel him, and we're going to put the time and effort in. And, you know, to say, well, thanks for showing me, but I'm going to go buy it online now, really kind of hurts my feelings.
Yeah. You know, and if you think about going to one of those bigger box stores, Wyoming doesn't really have any. So if you were going to Denver or you're going to Salt Lake or you're going elsewhere, like the situation is not going to be the same. They're not going to be Wyoming hunters or Wyoming anglers and be able to give you the exact knowledge of what you're really looking for.
Yeah, I mean, we have created our product mix based on what our customers have asked for, right? You know, whether it's a certain pack or whether it's fishing gear, and you know, we're gonna carry product that is relevant to the fishing and hunting scenario within our region. And so that, to me, like, you know, if you came up to me and say, hey, Brian, you think you should carry ATVs? Well, I think we should too, but it's just not realistic. Like, we can't support that, but we can support a full line of hunting packs and scents and meat grinders and backpacks and ammunition and all that stuff that's going to be relevant to our local community. We're not going to carry stuff that's, you know, geared towards alligator hunting, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah. You know, and that's... It's interesting. I was just talking with someone the other day, and they said that because of the fires that are raging, that there are some citizens that aren't happy with the way, like, the firefighters are going or Game and Fish are working, but they're working for the community. Mm-hmm. And I would say 75% of the time, these folks aren't from Wyoming. You can always tell when people that love Wyoming are here. Those are the ones that are coming in, and you know, they're talking to the gun counter because they had a shot misfire or whatever, and getting the information right there. And that's one of the great things when you're here in Wyoming. Like, people care.
Well, you know, especially with like these natural disasters, you know, our Sheridan store right now is battling that Bighorn fire up there. And so, you know, we're between the four locations, you know, we're shipping product that they need, you know, whether it's Mountain House, you know, or, you know, water jugs and that kind of stuff that can help the local community to make sure that the store is supplied to take care of those needs. You know, so it might be flashlights, maybe it's, you know, propane, you know, but a lot of the like Mountain House and Peak Refuel, the instant, you know, if they lose water or they, you know, they have to start boiling water, we want to make sure that the community is going to be geared up. And we had the same scenario this summer up in Gillette. You know, they had a big jamboree up there at a camplex, and a big storm came through and like wiped out all the tents that were up at the camplex. Oh, yeah. And so, you know, we all kind of got together and we shipped all kinds of tents and canopies and that kind of stuff, so the people that were up there for that jamboree could at least replenish their needs and with quality merchandise.
Yeah, and you know, Wyoming bred, Wyoming owned, Wyoming, you know, is the key factor in Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, because you're an outdoorsman, you're you know, you love to fish and you love to get out and camp, and you have a cabin that you go and explore, and you know, so does the manager in Gillette and Sheridan and all the other stores, and right. you live here, and you know, it's cool to be supported by the local communities.
Well, and we're listening to what the customers need, right? I mean, and if there's a need that we can fulfill, and most likely we can. You know, we have access to our buying isn't just isn't geared on what corporate says that we have to. Well, we don't want you to carry this. We don't want you to carry that. It can be really unique. You know, I had a guy call me today and says, hey, I carry these drag systems, you know, that to carry out deer, or you can use them for coyotes. And I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds pretty cool. And he's like, yeah, your Gillette store carries it. I'm trying to get them in the rest of your stores. You know, I call the manager up there, look at their movements and say, yeah, it's kind of a cool product. Obviously, it's got some viability. And, you know, the guy, I mentioned alligator because this guy makes a drag to pull alligators. Oh. You know, so after you shoot an alligator, you can drag the alligator. Obviously, I'm not going to order that one. But,
yeah, right.
You know, for coyotes and deer and that kind of stuff, you know, it looks like a pretty neat product. And we'll bring it in. We'll try it out. And if it has some traction, we'll order more and keep that going. But to be able to create a product mix that's based on individual communities, you're not going to see that. You know, our four locations are all merchandise different. What I stock here is different than what they stock up in Sheridan, because they're more on the trout level. They got a lot more whitetails in the area. You know, they do more of that product mix, where we're going to carry a little bit of it, but like we do a pretty good kokanee mix of stuff. The store over in Riverton does too, but Gillette, they don't have a whole lot of areas that they can go fish for kokanees in their local area.
Obviously, you come in here, you're getting ready to go maybe out on a fall fishing trip because the weather's really nice, or it's your time to head up on the mountains and do some hunting. Right. I mean, you can get everything you need right here.
Yeah, and you know, one thing is I'd like to thank the community for supporting us. You know, I mean, because you support us, we can, you know, carry a little more inventory and gear it to this. So if there's something that we don't have, you know, come talk to us. And if there's something that you can't find on the website or that you're having a hard time getting, don't be afraid to, you know, come in and chat with us. The guys at the gun counter have a long list of guns that people are looking for that just haven't been available. And the one thing that I find interesting is that when we do call guy and our customer and tell him, hey, we got this product for you, he's like, oh my God, thanks for the phone call back. I've talked to other places and I didn't get that kind of response. So give us a shot and thank you all for supporting us.
You know, and Rocky Mountain Discount Sports also supports the community. A lot of community events, you donate gift cards and you help people with buying guns and whatever to put into their auctions. And so I know it's important for Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, not just you personally, but, you know, the whole store to be a part of that. So make sure you come in, support local and all your friends right here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, CY Avenue in Casper, or check out online RockyMountainSports.com and see all the other locations in the state as well.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And, you know, Brian, we were talking about how you guys carry things here that are perfect for the region, you know, whether it's fishing up at Pathfinder, fishing at Glendoe, even fishing at Boysen, or maybe you're doing some turkey hunting or something like that. And you guys are always have the supplies that people need or can get them. And this year has been a little different. We always talk about how you can't wait for the weather to change, or, you know, if you were going to make plans on the weather, you'll never do anything.
Right.
Well, this year has been different. We're mid October and the weather feels like it would feel in the beginning of September on most years. And I think that's really triggered a lot of people to maybe head out and not hunt yet because the tags are a little longer, but now they're fishing.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, that this warm weather, you know, my mindset is that, you know, if I harvest an animal, I don't want it to spoil.
Yeah.
And so I've, you know, haven't been waterfowl hunting. I mean, one time, but, you know, normally I try to get out as many times as I can during that early season. And of course the weather being 85 degrees is really, you know, not conducive for me to be out there, you know, big game hunting or even waterfowl hunting. And the fishing has still been fantastic. You know, we were out this week in shorts and tank tops, and, you know, I mean, we're gonna go this afternoon, you know, and do the same thing.
And it doesn't seem right, you know. I mean, it does feel a little off to have this kind of a situation at this point of October and no real moisture coming here. But have you seen, and I know I heard a conversation with you that minnows are really hot right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the live bait or just bait in general has been really good. And I'm not sure, you know, usually this time of year down at Glendoe, the spooning bite and the jig and wrap bite is usually just phenomenal. It's like unbeatable. And I was down there this week and I pitched some spoons and some jig and wraps, you know, kind of like my personal favorites of what I like to do. And that bite wasn't nearly as good as just a jig and a minnow.
Which should be good about any time, right? I mean, yeah. We talked about the worms and the jig or the jig and the minnow.
Right.
I mean, it's an option that you can always play.
Yeah, and I mean, and it just seems like the shad bite, which when that spoon bite and jig and wrap bite, the shad are starting to die off a little bit because they've usually got at least one freeze in there, and so the water temperature starts changing and those shad start kind of dying off a little bit. I haven't noticed any. Usually I can see shad on the surface, and maybe the birds are picking them up faster than I, but almost every year this time of year, I can usually see some shad, you know, floating on the surface, and I didn't see any of them for the 2 days that I was at down there this week. But the bite was fantastic. You know, we caught everything from walleye, sauger, catfish, got one largemouth bass. We didn't catch any crappie, but we did catch a perch. So the nice part about like lakes like Glendoe that have multiple species in there, you just never know what you're going to get.
You know, it's funny. We all summer were with the Wyoming Walleye Stampede, and when you're on that tournament, walleye is what you want.
Right.
You know, you're fishing for walleye, and that may be all people catch are walleye during that time for the majority.
Yeah.
But if they just change things up just a little bit, it could totally switch, and you could be, you know, crappie fishing within a 5 minute period.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's just a more presentation and maybe a little bit of location, and then water depth. You know, a lot of times when they're walleye fishing, especially those early spring tournaments down at Glendoe all the way through the middle of June, you know, we're targeting walleyes that are pretty shallow. And sometimes, you know, you might find those perch in a little bit deeper water or those crappie in a little bit deeper water. Crappie, you know, usually it's a pretty good minnow bite, but not everybody's fishing minnows in June. You know, a lot of times they're switching over to pitch and crank baits or plastics and that kind of stuff. And not that you can't catch crappie doing that,
right.
But sometimes, you know, it's just a lot of it is structure related. You know, the crappie seem to really like the rock structures, and during that midsummer months, you know, we get a lot of weed growth going up, and there's a lot of minnows and stuff in those weeds, so therefore the walleyes are in those weeds, and so are the perch. So then perch, you know, if you're fishing with a jig and a worm, you know, there's a good opportunity to catch perch. They just, it's, they love the worms.
Yeah. or anything. I mean, yeah. You get you a bass, you could get a crappie, you could get a,
right.
You know, a catfish on that. That's kind of the universal bait.
Right. Yeah. You know? And you know, the bite up at, Pathfinder still been really good. And in fact, I almost kind of think that the quality of fish is getting better as the summer goes on up at Pathfinder. And I don't know if maybe just people are thinning out some of the smaller ones and the bigger ones are biting, or what the deal is. But the bite there is actually been picking up as well.
So we get a little confused when the weather's like this, because people are like, oh, what am I going to do? Have you noticed that the fish maybe seem confused? And when I say that, I mean they're not at the depth or the level that they normally would be at this time of year?
You know, what I'm kind of finding out or seeing anyways is that the fish are just kind of scattered. You know, we're marking a lot of fish in deeper water. Like, I mean, we slid out to one spot on the lake down there the other day. We out to 38 foot of water, and like just the fish finder was just full of arcs. And we caught a catfish in that deeper water, which, you know, so I think, you know, there's probably a mix of catfish and walleyes in there as well. But then we were catching fish as shallow as, you know, 2 and 3 foot. So, I mean, it's like through the spectrum, you know, and I seem to do really well in that 16 to 20 foot of water. So mm-hmm. Maybe we're getting fish that are transitioning out of that deep water, coming up and feeding shallow. The wind picked up a little bit on Thursday, and the fish seemed to, I'm like, gosh, the wind's blowing into this point just perfectly. Like, we should be able to find some fish shallow. And of course, I pitched up there in like 3 foot of water, and boom, there was a fish. And I'm like, okay, so, well, you know, the pattern's working, right? I mean, the fish will start getting a little more aggressive with the wind, and they could go a little bit shallower. They kind of, you know, it breaks up the water. So instead of having a real sunny day where the sun's, you know, beating through that water column, those fish can be in that shallow water without, you know, being, you know, blinded or whatever they, you know. So yeah, I mean, trust your electronics, trust your history and of what, you know, the fish are going to do. But yeah, the fishing's been great. It's hard to you know, think about anything else right now.
You mentioned earlier that some of the bites were very light, and mm-hmm. and it almost, you were like, kind of didn't know if you really had a bite. Could have been the wind, could have been that. How could you make your line a little more sensitive and easier to really catch a fish if you're having that light bite?
Right. Well, I like to use a colored line. I use a Stren High-Vis Gold a lot. And I like that because even with the bite the other day, a lot of times you could see the, you know, if you're fishing deeper water, especially, you know, those fish will pick up that jig and maybe swim towards you or swim out to deeper water, and they're not pulling against your line, so you don't necessarily feel it. But if you watch where the line enters the water, a lot of times you can see that line moving across the top water, and you're like, oh boy, one's got it and one's running with it. Let me reel up this slack and catch up to it and then set the hook. The other thing that tends to work if you are fishing a deeper water bite is maybe go with a braided line that doesn't have the stretch. And so in that case, what I'll do is I'll run like a 8 to 15 pound braided line. I like the Suffix 832. And then I'll use a fluorocarbon leader, maybe just like an 18 inches. I'll direct tie it just to the line, and then a jig and a minnow off that. And if I'm going to run a spoon, I will almost always use a swivel to connect my leader to my braided line. And that just helps keep that line twist down so that, you know, you're not, you know, especially with spoons, when you're jerking those things up, you know, they'll twist, and as they fall, they'll twist the line. So having a swivel on that braided line will help with the feel of that as well.
When you have the two different types of line, you have the braided and the fluoro, do you sense the difference between the two? Is that what makes the line a little better for that light bite situation, where it maybe reacts a little different?
I don't know that the actual lure acts any different, but there's just no stretch. So on that braided line, you know, when you get that bite there, it just, you feel it. There's no stretch. Like the mono has a lot of stretch. So when you go to do a hook set with mono, you know, you've sometimes, you know, I reel and set the hook at the same time so that there's no slack in the line. Cause once you get slack in the line, I mean, we caught a lot of fish that after we netted them, the lure is just, you know, the jig is just in the net. Mm-hmm. So those walleyes, I mean, it's tough to sometimes get that hook set into their jaw. But with the braided line, you tend to feel a little bit better. And so just because there's no stretch. And so there's like when you feel that tick, I mean, you're right on it and you can set that hook.
Well, if you're heading out fishing, maybe you're looking for something to do and you need to come in and check it out, ask questions, especially when you come in here. You know, these guys all get out and try to do what they can, and they fish where you fish. So that's one of the best things about Rocky Mountain Discount Sports or RockyMountainSports.com if you want to find out more.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.